That's a great question.
Here I am as Miss Kentucky, competed in Miss America, and it's been really an amazing journey.
So in Lexington in particular, we mostly resettle Congolese, and we have the largest population of Congolese within Kentucky.
And he said to me, science is cool, learning is fun. That's what we do.
All the schools in Kentucky present a power word presentation, which talks about verbal bullying, negative perceptions in hip-hop, how to challenge our peers when they use negative words. At the end of the day, words do matter, and it's a catalyst for action.
That's a great question. That's a powerful question. That's a question that I hope that all of us will continue to ponder on.
We'll be getting back out to playing live, but some places that I do like playing here in Lexington.
I tend to focus on local issues, local people, you know, local being Kentucky.
So we've got these various battles raging between the Attorney General and the governor, and in the background is the former governor.
This is a myth that is really common.
Mountain Dew is not a contraceptive.
Probably is going to cause a pretty bad yeast infection.
An extreme yeast infection.
If you can't deep fry it, spray paint it gold.
Now, will the animal send you like a postcard as a thank you with a little paw print on it?
Who's at fault more, men or women?
The vetting process. Did you already ask that? Okay.
It works. When
Minasan konnichiwa. Hey, you're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU LPFM, Lexington, Kentucky. I'm Chuck.
Hey, Chuck. I'm Ben.
Hey, Ben. How are you?
Or the Benjineer, whichever one suits.
Whichever one bends to your ear.
Yeah. Better. Oh, we're back live for the full 2 hours this week. Mm. I'm very excited.
It is. It's fun.
It's like real radio again.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing.
Having to move everybody out who was in here before, usher them out. Usher everybody in, get everything all set up.
A lot of bios to catcher.
Oh, yeah.
To capture. Oh, I said catcher. Wow.
We're going to create an app.
Yeah.
And then you'll catch all your bios.
It'll be great. So you're listening to Bluegrass Bios. We're on every Friday from noon to 2 here on Lexington Community Radio. We have some great guests lined up here today.
Who do we have?
We have Kate Hetfield, Kate Hetfield Antonetti.
Yep, that's the way it is now.
It's true. Director of Movement Continuum. A little later on in the hour, we'll be joined by UK professor Kaki Urch.
Yay, Kaki.
And Sergio will be in here a little bit later on to talk about a show happening at the Parachute Factory.
Right on.
But nonetheless, I want to let people know about some stuff going on tonight. Tonight is Gallery Hop, so there's all kinds of arts happening here in Lexington. So people who are like, there's nothing, never anything to do here in the city.
There's nothing to do in Lexington, Chuck.
You're wrong. So just gotta look. Tonight, the Lexington Art League is participating in a celebration of the work of Louis Zoller Bickett in an exhibition entitled All We Ever Wanted. Guests can take pictures in front of a flag that was a backdrop for Bickett's 4th of July photo series. And his most iconic works will also be included, including Holy Family and the AIDS Tree. This exhibit is open until the 27th over at the Loudon House in Castlewood Park.
All right.
Yeah, so that's happening.
Cool.
Yeah. Also, at Pilates Place, there will be a workshop called Calm Your Mind, Strengthen Your Body, where Jessica White instructs in meditation, Pilates, and yoga. And that's happening today. So for more information, you can go to PilatesPlaceKentucky.com. Also, tonight, Cora Lee and the Townies are playing at the Borough at 9 p.m.
There you go.
If you're into Lexington-based Kentucky soul roots,
or if you just like good music.
That's true.
That's
very
fine.
True. Also, Donnie Baker is going to be at Comedy Off Broadway this weekend for ages 18 and up. He's a stand-up comedian. He's been all over the place. Also, the Carnegie Center will be hosting an event called Celebrate Culture. That's celebration of cultural traditions around the world. And that's from 5:30 to 7:30 during the Gallery Hop.
And I'm just remembering now there is an ACLU meeting tonight. I think Frank X. Walker is going to be there.
Wow.
And let me look up the specifics for that, and we'll have them later in the show.
That sounds great.
So stay tuned.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Also tonight at the Lyric Theater, there's a free blues show happening at 7 p.m. That's happening.
Free?
Free.
Wow.
At the Lyric Theater.
Oh, man.
Big ups. East Side.
That's
a
value.
Dewey Street. Anyway.
You just bailed on that one, John.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's all right.
I know I got all the love for the Lyric Theater in the East Side, East End. Tonight, the Tarot Show That's happening. We'll be closing at the Bread Box behind West 6.
Oh, is that the guest we had on a few weeks ago?
Nishan.
Yeah, we need to bring her on and have her do my tarot reading at some point.
On-air tarot.
On-air, absolutely.
That's great.
Yeah.
So that's happening at the Bread Box behind West 6 from 5 to 8 tonight. Closing of the show. I think it's 78 artists who all interpreted different tarot cards. So that's pretty fascinating.
And who are those 78? In alphabetical
order. I'm one of them.
Oh, okay.
Ed.
That's good enough.
Clint Colburn.
Cool.
All right. I'm not going to do this. other stuff going on. Rob Morgan has a statue that he will be dropping at the Living Arts and Sciences Center tonight.
Well, it can't be drop. We've got to come up with something.
Yeah, he will be gently placing it on the ground.
Unveiled.
Yeah, unveiling a new statue.
Propped. Propped. He will be propping his new statue.
True.
There you go.
At the Living Arts and Sciences Center. Also, our boy John Lackey, shout out to John Lackey, Homegrown Press, is going to be having the closing of his show, Neuroseason, at the Downtown Arts Center. Shout out to John Lackey. Kentucky landscape artist.
There's nothing to do in Lexington this weekend.
Yeah, nothing at all.
Absolutely
you should just
nothing.
Stay home and watch Dancing with the Stars.
Or the Austin Peay game.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what that is, Ben, and I'm glad I don't. But anyways, so, yeah. It's been a wild week, Ben. It's been a crazy one.
It has been for me. I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
My mom is moving.
Mm.
I think our first guest can relate to this somewhat.
Movement.
My mom is moving. Oh, movement and moving. All sorts of things.
So many things.
Literally and figuratively.
What a beautiful segue.
Yeah. And so it's clearing out 37 years worth of crap.
Nice.
Out of a house. And you don't... When she told me she was moving out and she was going to move out in 3 weeks, mm-hmm. I thought, how in the world are we going to go through this whole house in 3 weeks? There's so much stuff in here. And you realize how worthless so much of the stuff you own is. So there's a criteria you go through. Is this valuable? Is this valuable to me? And, you know, does it go with me? Does it go into storage or does it go away?
Mm-hmm.
And just sort of weighing the pros and cons. Is this just, this may be somewhat valuable to me, not really have, you know, selling retail value. But is it just going to sit in a box for 20 years in the back of the basement, or are you going to have it out? Is it something that's important?
It's funny, the things that we keep and the things that we hold on to. You know, it'll be like, oh, that's a poster from that show I went to that one time.
Yeah,
sure.
Maybe I'll hang it up at some point. Maybe I'll or that T-shirt that's at XXL.
Here's the thing about posters. If you have one giant rolled-up poster, you have room for 8 or 9 rolled-up posters. Mm. So think about that.
I see. So speaking of movement and moving stuff, our first guest, celebrated dancer, poet, artist here in Lexington, Kate Hatfield, director of Movement Continuum Dance Crew. Hi, Kate.
Hey.
Hey. It's great to see you.
Good to see you guys, too.
So, Kate, first question I have for you is, where are you from?
Hometown. Originally, I am from Paducah, Kentucky.
Oh, sweet Paducah, the Atomic City.
The Atomic City. Ugh.
So, can you explain kind of how you came to be in Lexington?
Yes. Whenever I graduated from high school at Paducah Tillman, I applied to the University of Kentucky to start college and moved here in 2004 and just stayed for the rest of all time.
I know how that goes. I did the same thing.
It's a black hole, Lexington. You can't really get out of it once you're here.
It is. It's a comfy pillow.
It is.
It's the porridge that's just right, as I like to say.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Truly. Well, that's awesome. So when you were in Paducah, who kind of influenced you to get into dancing? What inspired you to become a dancer?
Well, I was 4, and my mother wanted to see me, I think, in a tutu with a bun head on a stage. So at 4 years old, she put me into dance. I think just assuming that I would do it for a couple years, be real cute, shake my hips, point my feet, and then I'd be done.
Little did she know.
They had no idea what they were getting themselves into. So I danced all through high school. The only time I haven't danced is whenever I was 18 and I started back at 19 again. Mm-hmm. So I took 1 year off and have danced ever since.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. What's the dance scene like in Paducah?
In Paducah, it's the dance scene is dance studios where kids train.
Mm.
That's the dance scene. As far as I know, there are no professional companies there. Mm-hmm. It's dance studios where you train little bitty tots at 2 years old up through, they graduate through high school.
And then most folks move on to
St. Louis, move on.
Indianapolis.
Yeah, Chicago. Bigger cities. The dance world is huge, obviously, in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago. Mm-hmm. Miami has an awesome dance scene, too. And but people just kind of move out into the burgs and find different colleges to attend and then take their professional careers from there.
Cool. So you moved to Lexington, went to school here at the University of Kentucky.
I did.
As I know. As
yeah, that's where we met.
Together is where we met. So we go way back. So my question to you is movement continuum. So I know that you were doing dancing before with different troops, but can you kind of explain how you came into the Lexington dance world and how movement continuum got started out of that?
Yeah, absolutely. There was a group of us that danced together in college in the University of Kentucky Dance Ensemble. Mm-hmm. And five of us specifically that became best friends. We graduated from college and realized that there were zero opportunities for contemporary dancers in Lexington. Plenty of ballerinas, plenty of ballet companies, nowhere for us to go mm-hmm. for those of us that weren't, you know, bunheads.
Yeah.
And we're shorter and stockier.
Is that a real term, bunheads?
Yeah, you hear it a lot.
Wow.
Yeah, you hear it a lot.
Interesting.
And so we, in 2010, this is a story I've told a million times at this point. We were at a Friendsgiving in November of 2010, and we had all brought potluck dishes, the five of us.
So that's the Thanksgiving for people that can't quite make it home?
Yeah, and just to, like, hang out with your tribe.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So we were at Friendsgiving, and we're all sitting around after dinner, stuffed, can't move, and talking about how we didn't have any place to go. We didn't have any place to dance, and it was killing us all because we'd all danced since we were 3 and 4 years old. So, you know, we were like, what are we doing? Why don't we just start our own thing? And it seemed daunting. And then we just started kind of dreaming about it. And by the end of the night, we were like, we're doing it. And I think within like a week, I had like sent out agendas and scheduled meeting times and like had bullet points and was like, no, this is for real. Mm-hmm. We're going to make this happen. And so that's how Movement Continuum was born, mm-hmm. was on a living room floor. After, wow. like, turkey and green beans.
When you're in the condition that dance seems like the last thing you want to do.
The last thing you want to do, yeah.
Well, that's awesome. So the show that's premiered tonight at mm-hmm. 7 p.m. is called Ascension.
Ascendance.
Right? Ascendance.
Yeah.
So Ascendance is your sixth show. So can you kind of give people a little bit of a history of what you all have done up to this point?
Yeah, absolutely. We are in our sixth season, but this is our eighth show. Mm. So there were a couple of seasons there where we did put on two productions in 1 year. Mm. We have done so many different things. I don't even really know where to start with that.
Well, I just think for folks who aren't familiar with Movement Continuum, can you kind of explain the type of program that you all put together?
Yes. We are a contemporary dance company. So the majority of our performance is contemporary dance. The technical fusion of contemporary dance is, or the definition, is a fusion between modern and jazz. Mm. It is currently the newest genre of dance that has been created. Wow. In the dance world. So it's brand new. But we like to throw other things into our shows. Sometimes in the really story-based shows, we have some musical theater, we have some jazz. Contemporary ballet has started to creep in a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we do. That's the genre definition of what we've got going on. But we are really invested in multimedia productions. Mm-hmm. So we want to have dance, but we also want live video projections. And we want to have poets. And we want to have monologues. And we want to have extravagant costuming. And it's my mission as the director that we are consistently creating worlds for people to step into.
Cool.
And not just have another dance show, but a place where people come in and they forget that they're in a theater for a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm. More than just a bunch of bunheads.
More than just a bunch of bunheads.
That's great.
Even though we all are.
Yeah, we're all little bunheads. Well, that's awesome. And just in case you're joining us, you're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU. I'm Chuck and Ben, and we're here with Kate Hatfield, Director of Movement Continuum. So Kate, my next question for you is, when you decide to put a program together, what's kind of your creative process? How does the group get together and decide, okay, we're going to do an Alice in Wonderland theme, or, you know, how do you decide on the theme and how does it develop?
Well, a lot of these shows are years in the making for me. They're brewing around in my mind for many, many years. And then I decide what we're going to do as far as theme is concerned, and I write the show. And the process for me is I just think a whole lot. It takes about a solid month of just thinking about the show all the time, trying to be inspired by music, listening to all kinds of music to see if there's anything that sparks my imagination. I spend a lot of time outdoors observing animals a lot, how animals move, the things I'm interested in and how they move, how different people move, and people's quirks physically. And then I write the show and we audition and everybody gets plugged in to where they go. And the shows take months to write.
I'm curious, when you audition, where do you announce your audition? So if somebody's interested in maybe being in one of your shows, where would they find out information for that?
So we post everything on our Facebook page and also on Instagram and then through our personal pages. All of our publicity is done pretty much through social media at this point.
Okay, so it'd be facebook.com/...
Movement Continuum.
Movement Continuum.
Yes, sir.
Very good.
Yeah. That's yeah.
Good. So go there.
Yeah.
If you'd like to dance.
Absolutely. Yeah, come check us out. We'll be auditioning for new dancers in February of 2017.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we audition every year in February for the new season.
Excellent. Cool. And so the show tonight, kind of, can you describe a little bit to us kind of how that developed and what it's about?
Absolutely. I think this show ended up being very timely, and I didn't have intentions of that at all. Sometimes the cosmos works in very mysterious ways. And this show, Ascendance, essentially is a message of humanity and of unity. And the way that I based the show was around the thought that we are all traveling the same path. We all have the same point A and we all have the same point B. And although we are traveling the path in different ways, we make different decisions, we go about our grief in different ways, we go about our joy in different ways, and our relationships in different ways, what it all boils down to is that we're all doing the exact same thing. And you can try to differentiate every single way that you want to, but there's no way to avoid the fact that we are all united in the fact that we are human. And you can't get around that. There's no way to say, no, you're less human than I am, because we all have a liver and a heart. And
yeah, it kind of reminds me of the physiological makeup of a human being and how we're all over 99% the same.
We're the
same.
And
it's in that zero point whatever where all the races of the world are, all the eye colors, height,
absolutely,
weight, all
you know,
of that,
and like,
languages.
All united by our chemistry.
Yeah.
Everyone's just made up of atomic matter.
Me with green eyes, I'm a mutation. I wasn't ever supposed to happen. You know, I'm a genetic mutation.
And
is that Whitman? Did he say that? I'm a genetic mutation. I can change multitudes.
I'm a genetic mutation. But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's this idea that we are all connected, no matter how far we try to run from that. We're connected. And so that is the metaphor that lies within Ascendance. But the other thing that was resonating with me a lot is, in similarity between everyone, is we're all working through the same seasons together. We work through the same fall, the same winter, the same spring, and the same summer. And we see the same things all the time. You're walking down the street with someone, you're both seeing the same trees, and you're both seeing the snowfall, and you're both feeling the same rain. And that's unavoidable, that connection and that similarity between our experiences. And so what happens is, in Ascendance, is we follow different travelers, or journey women or journeymen, through the four seasons and through 1 year, as they push their way through snow and flowers and rain and falling leaves to complete their journeys, to make it through 1 year to find their tribe at the end all together.
Is that represented literally on stage with backdrops and props? Okay.
Yes, it is.
Then, of course, the dancing is different for each. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. The show is set up and divided into four different suites according to season. Mm-hmm. And then within each season, we are divided into the personification of that season, dancers as leaves, dancers as rain, dancers as snow, etc. And then we move into the piece that is named after a mountain. And the mountain is representative of the struggle in that season, what you're going through, what your battle is at that time. Mm-hmm. And then every suite is closed out by a resolution piece where you've worked it out. You've overcome. You've come down the mountain. You went up it. You came down it. And you're working into the next season or the next phase of your life.
Wow.
Okay. And you guys decide on this is what we're going to do. Do you put it to a vote? Do you share ideas? Does everybody kind of throw stuff against the board and see what sticks?
Unfortunately, I'm not so forgiving in that way.
Wait, hey, that's what directors do.
Well, at the end of the day, the buck stops with you then.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you know, I kind of show up at our first. So we, you know, we audition our dancers and everybody's so excited and happy and we take class together and everybody's really hyped up. And then a couple weeks into the season, we all sit down and I hand out folders because I'm very OCD. And I hand out folders and everyone has their casting inside of their folder. And we sit down and I talk through the entire show with the company. And I just kind of say, this is what we're doing. Okay. And thank God, you know, I have been blessed with dancers and movement continuum that trust me. They are the most trusting, faithful group of dancers I can imagine.
It sounds like you found your tribe.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, this is my tribe. Oh yeah, real hardcore.
You know, it's funny that you said this is timely because it makes me think of I watched yesterday when Jon Stewart was on CBS Morning Morning News, and you know, he'd been pretty quiet kind of this election because he's got a farm and he's taking care of orphaned animals in New Jersey.
Retired is retired.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he was talking about how he's not surprised kind of what's happened in post-election America of people rebelling, because he's like, you know, America's a difficult thing to do because nature is to be tribal and align with folks who are like you, and to directly go against that historically hasn't happened really ever. And so I do think that theme is very timely, and seeing us go through the seasons where nature is pretty impartial to all the craziness that humans are getting into right
doesn't
now.
Doesn't care what we're going through.
Exactly. Just ask anybody from Minnesota if nature cares about them.
Yeah,
I've spent a few winters in Minnesota. It's trying to kill you.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, truly, the universe is indifferent to your existence.
It is.
You know? So I think that's important to go into when you're living your life every day, and I think through the seasons as well. And I think hearing you talk about the show, that's awesome.
I think for me, you know, it's a perspective shift. Mm-hmm. I obviously have lots of feelings about everything. I am highly emotional and passionate. But for me, what I check myself, on a minute-to-minute basis, often, I am checking my perspective. I am looking at how I am feeling, because our emotions are not always rational. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes they're false, you know, because they are emotion. And so I am checking my perspective all day long. Mm. Why do you feel this way? Put yourself in this person's situation. Try to practice compassion and empathy and truly be unconditional in how you're treating other people, regardless of how you feel. And this show has kind of done that for me in a lot of ways, just meditating on it, that perspective is everything. Mm-hmm. And thinking about what you were saying about the, you know, Mother Nature doesn't care what we're going through, you know, and somebody two cities over, they don't care what I'm going through, you know, but at the same time, we're all going through the same things. Mm-hmm. And so you have to consistently be checking yourself. Is your perspective as true as you can possibly make it? Or are you allowing yourself to be biased and skewed by what's happening around you? You know?
Yeah.
Is that the ultimate message you hope people take away from the show as they're walking out?
My whole mission in life right now is...
We got time. Go ahead.
I have a whole manifesto. It's pretty simple. It's that I am over hate. I'm over it. I don't have a tolerance for it anymore. I don't have a patience for it. And I am looking in every way possible to find ways to unite. Mm-hmm. And more than even uniting people, to ignite this really deep, unconditional sense of empathy. One of my favorite things that I've ever read is that opinion is actually the lowest form of intelligence and that the highest form of intelligence is empathy. Mm. And because in order to be empathetic, you must be able to step outside of your own opinion to work with someone else.
True.
And so I have been really working a lot lately on looking at my opinions and seeing if they are empathy based. And that is my entire goal right now, is to promote as much empathy and compassion and mercy and forgiveness as possible. And not just love, because love is intangible. Mm-hmm. But like figuring out ways to act to make these things happen. And Ascendance, I think it's deepened for me as the season has gone on. I didn't, like I said, I didn't mean for it to become so personal to me, but it really has. And there's a lot of ugly right now, and there's a lot of darkness. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of feel like I'm in Lord of the Rings. And, you know, it's like there's like this black hovering cloud, but Gandalf is like still riding through, you know.
That's interesting. I feel like we're in the parallel universe that is in the bad universe, that somebody who's traveled back in time screws everything up, comes back to the up. I got to go back and
do this again.
Like, we're in the crazy parallel timeline that isn't going to exist
in a little while. The Biff Tannen alternate 1985 from Back to the Future 2. Shout out.
And I mean, you know, it's like, I don't want to see that anymore. I want to have kids one day.
Right.
And I'm not going to raise, I don't want to raise my children in a place where people aren't putting one another first.
Yeah.
And not putting their selfishness aside. And we are selfish creatures by nature. Mm-hmm. There's nothing we can do about it. We're humans, we're selfish, and that's just the end of it, because we're all mortally flawed.
Yeah.
But we should be working, you know? And what I want is, I want, because there is a lot of darkness right now, I want people to come to Ascendance. I want them to watch something incredibly stunning, and I want them to leave full of hope. That full of hope and belief and faith that beauty can exist no matter what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's probably my ultimate goal. No matter what goes on, we keeping on trying to make something good happen.
Absolutely. And use our elevated consciousness to spread empathy.
Trying.
It's what we need. So we're going to hear some music from the show, but before we do that, I just want to let people know we're talking with Kate Hetfield, director of Movement Continuum, who is premiering their new show Ascendance tonight at 7 p.m. at the Downtown Arts Center. The show is also happening. There are performances tonight and tomorrow at 7 p.m. and then on Sunday at 2 p.m. For tickets, you can check out lexingtonky.gov/DAC, or you can pick them up at the box office phone line at 859-425-2550, or in person downtown at the Downtown Arts Center.
Cool.
So we're going to hear some music from the show. Can you let us know kind of what this is about?
Yeah. This is actually the opener to the entire show, and it's called Life and Death by Paul Cardall.
Great. And why did you choose this song?
I just really love it, and it sounds like a movie.
Awesome. That's awesome. Oh, great. All right, well, we'll be back here at Bluegrass Bios here in a second. Hey, everybody. You're listening to Bluegrass Bios here on 93.9 WLXU LPFM, Lexington, Kentucky, coming to you live from the heart of the bluegrass here at the STEAM Academy, north side of Lexington. On 6th Street.
That's what I was doing, knocking over that thing. I was just proving that we're live.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, I do what I can.
Well, so we're here with Kate Hetfield, director of Movement Continuum, who is premiering a show tonight at the Downtown Arts Center, a contemporary dance crew. The show is called Ascendance, and you can't have Ascendance without dance.
Yeah. So smart.
Thank you. Thank you. So, Kate, I want to ask you just two more questions before we part ways.
Cool.
One, I know you're a writer as well and a poet, because we've come up Total Word Nerd style.
We have through UK. We have.
So I want to ask you, how does dance compare to writing? Because I know you said you think a lot about conceptualizing the program and conceptualizing the choreography.
Yeah.
But what are kind of the intersectional overlappings of writing and dance?
Like, how do I use them for one another?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
What do you see? How do they compare and contrast with each other?
Yeah. Well, I don't think that if I hadn't majored in English and wasn't a writer, I don't know if these shows could happen.
Mm.
I have to be a storyteller. And the only way I can be a storyteller, a good one, is if I'm really still trying to study my craft as a writer.
Mm.
So that's the first thing, is that in order to write these shows, I have to be willing to tell the story, and I have to be able to tell the story well.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously there's a lot of writing that goes into it, even just like emails, press releases, you know, things like that. But on the artistic side of things, I have to be able to tell a creative story to make these shows interesting. As far as being a writer that is also a dancer, that has helped a ton. Some of my most favorite writing that I read is very much placed inside the body. And you can have an actual visceral reaction to what you're reading. You know,
inside the body?
When you're reading something and you actually get a feeling inside of your gut whenever you read it, you feel it in your chest, right? You have a bodily reaction to what you're seeing on the page, essentially. And that has helped my writing a lot, because as a dancer, I am so familiar with the body and understanding. You're hyper aware of your own body as a dancer.
Mm.
You know all the things and what's going
on. Your tools.
Yeah. Yeah. Tools. It's your tool. And so as a writer, that's really helped me, because I can pinpoint where everything is initiating emotionally and physically, because I can feel that, you know, after spending so many years studying the body.
Wow, that's interesting. And as far as like timing goes, the timing of poetry, the timing of dance, you know, when you're reading poetry, do you think about it in that sense as well, being a dancer and counting steps? And
yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that there's an internal rhythm that occurs with choreography as a dancer, and that occurs with a choreography of language. We, by nature, as people, love rhythm. You know, you stand a two-year-old up, and the first thing they want to do is bounce. You know, music comes on, and they want to bounce.
Something's never changed, Kate.
Yeah, bobblehead around, you know. We love rhythm as people, and you have to have it in your writing in order to be interesting, I think. That's my belief. And obviously, we have to have it in dance. There has to be that really strong connection between the musicality and the movement.
Rhythm's going to get you.
Rhythm's going to get you.
Shout out. Gloria Stefan. Just wise woman. So, Kate, the last question I want to ask you is kind of, since you're kind of on the cusp of contemporary dance and doing a lot of kind of revolutionary stuff with contemporary dance, who are some other dance groups around the country and here in Kentucky that, you know, you're really excited about seeing what they're working on, and kind of what's kind of some suggested reading, if you will, to our listeners about other folks who are kind of in New York or Chicago or wherever doing other cool stuff.
It's so tough. This is kind of non-answering. Well, I don't know. It's an answer.
Yeah.
But it's not contemporary dance, but I am like obsessed with hip hop right now as a genre of dance. There are some really like gravity-defying things happening in that genre. And there is, any dancer that's listening is going to be like, oh, yeah. There is a group out of New Zealand right now called Royal Family, and I can't stop. Like, once I start watching them, I fall down a rabbit hole, and it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and I've been watching Royal Family videos for 4 hours, you know? So, they're, to me, one of the greatest things happening right now. But dance-wise, of course, like, in Kentucky, as a whole, there's not a lot happening, you know, because we're in Kentucky.
Yeah.
But the good news is that dance is starting to really flourish in Kentucky again, because people are not... It used to be you were a dancer, and you moved to New York, you moved to L.A., you moved to Chicago, that was it. you had three options to have a career. And it's been amazing that, especially in Lexington, there are dance groups popping up all over the place. And I don't even know. There's so many now, you know, and I'm sure it's the same situation in Louisville. But I feel like we're kind of making ourselves our own little mecca of dance, you know? It's like, no, we can have a spot here too.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you think there's anything indigenous to Kentucky that maybe you've seen in Kentucky that you haven't seen anywhere else in particular? Or do we need to develop that? Do we need to sort of create our own touch it a little bit, so put a little stamp on it?
I think the great thing about Kentucky is that it's so far removed from everybody else. And the reason that I think that is especially great for artists here is that we are uninfluenced.
Yeah. That's a great point.
Whenever I'm creating here, I know that I am genuinely creating out of my own brain, out of my own gut. I might watch other people do stuff, but it's not just like permeating my life to the point that I start to think that maybe what they're doing was my idea. You know, because I've seen it so many times that I'm like, oh, yeah, this is just what we do.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about Kentucky as an artist is that there's no standard, because everybody's just doing whatever because nobody knows what's going on.
Right.
So, you know, you come up with what you want and you just roll with it.
Yeah.
So I kind of hope that Kentucky never gets brought in. You know, I hope people just keep coming here to experience it. But that we stay entirely unique.
Yeah, cool. Totally. Yeah, that's a great point. You're right. We're kind of in this convergence. I always think about Barry Lopez, who says land shape shapes mindscape.
Yes.
So I think unconsciously, maybe we are very influenced by Kentucky of being kind of not only sociologically from being too far north to be south and too far south to be north and being this weird...
It's a strange ground.
It is. And when people hear Kentucky, they don't really... There's like a strange complexity of thoughts that come to their head of like, you know, shoeless people on their porch yelling racial epithets versus, you know, Johnny Depp or Jennifer Lawrence or, you know, Hunter Thompson or all these other, you know, or My Morning Jacket or these other...
You could go on and on.
Yeah, you can go on and on, and it's such a wide variety of folks, and Kentuckians have always been, you know, I think honest and unique to themselves, and you're right, you hit on that.
There's like, a stubborn streak there in a Kentuckian. It's like, you know, you tell a Kentuckian they're going to do something one way and they're like, nope, think I'll just do the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, and thankfully that applies to all of our art
little contrarianism.
Oh yeah. Ornery.
Yeah.
Ornery.
We are ornery, you know? And we do contain multitudes.
And determined.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ornery and determined, which is a dangerous combination.
Yeah. That's true. We're going to plant beets and read postmodernism. That's what we do here in Lexington.
Postmodernism beets.
Yeah. Exactly. So, well, Kate, thank you so much.
Thank
it's been
you guys.
So great to talk to you and hear about your show and hear a little bit more about Movement Continuum.
Thank you all so much for having me.
Yeah. Awesome work that you're doing.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Bringing Kentucky's contemporary dance world up another step.
Doing our best.
It's great. So before we take our next break, I want to remind you all, tonight at 7 p.m. at the Downtown Arts Center, Movement Continuum's premiering Ascendance, tonight at 7. You can check out more information at Facebook page.
Yeah, at our Facebook page for sure.
Oh, what's your Instagram?
Our Instagram is at MVMNT Continuum.
Very good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to a break. You're listening to Bluegrass Bios. We're going to hear another song from the show.
Oh.
What is this next track?
Well, let me pick one.
Sure. That's great.
Yeah, I didn't know he was going to do that either.
Yeah, that's okay. That's what we're Kentuckians. We're unpredictable.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
let's
good point.
This one's just a little bit more upbeat, and we get real smiley, so it's kind of fun.
Okay. Sounds great.
Cool.
Great. Cool. Well, thank you, Kate, for coming in, and keep it tuned here to 93.9 WLXU LPFM.